Well, it is recall election day tomorrow for six Republican state senators, and we will get the latest on the recall election news this hour in this edition of the State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, August the 8th. We'll preview the six races with our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, and four of our reporters based around the state who have been covering the races in their Senate districts. And we'll welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Sean Johnson is our state capitol reporter, and he joins me in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
Well, tomorrow's going to be a big day for state politics, and we will spend most of the hour talking about the recall election tomorrow, and then again, there's another one next week. But first, some state politics. Governor Walker last week did sign this unemployment extension bill into law.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, when we first talked about this bill a few weeks ago, it seemed like it was going to be fairly uncontroversial, and it turned a little bit controversial, possibly because of these recalls that are hanging over everybody's heads right now. Just a reminder, what the bill does, the basic bill does, is it makes technical changes so that the state can tap into 13 weeks of extended federal unemployment benefits. Mm-hmm. Uses roughly $90 million of federal money, no state money, to extend unemployment benefits from 73 weeks to 86 weeks. And this is something where Wisconsin residents were receiving this money for a time, but they were cut off in April just because of the way that the state calculates its unemployment rate over a few years. So this brings it back. Governor Walker signed it last week and, says it's now something available for the people who need it.
Well, wasn't there a difference between the Senate and the Assembly over whether people would have to wait 1 week to collect these benefits?
Yeah, and this is where the controversy came in. And this is something that was added to the recently signed state budget. And what happened is for a long time in Wisconsin, it's been the law that as soon as you become unemployed, you're eligible for unemployment benefits. That kicks in immediately. And during the budget process, as it moved through the legislature, Republicans tacked on a provision that made you wait a week to collect unemployment benefits. And so that was passed by both houses of the legislature. All Republicans voted for it as part of the budget. The governor signed it into law. But then when this bill came back, Democrats in the state Senate amended the bill so that it got rid of the 1 week waiting period. And on a voice vote, Republican leaders let that go forward. And it looked like possibly it would either, if not be eliminated, it would certainly be put, potentially to the governor's desk to let him deal with it. Assembly didn't agree with that, sent it back to the Senate, and then the Senate ended up voting for the bill, leaving that 1 week waiting period intact. And so that there is where the controversy sort of came. And a couple of weeks ago, we didn't exactly know if the bill was going to pass because you had two very different versions out there. But the bottom line is that the basic 13-week extension did make it to the governor's desk.
Mm-hmm. And so was the 1 week waiting period put there if it's federal money, what's the point of that?
The 1 week waiting period is, it wasn't something that was in there throughout like the budget hearings and everything, but the whole idea of the waiting period in the beginning of the is that it saves the state's unemployment fund money. Obviously, when you're talking about saving money, it's money that workers aren't collecting. So that's a trade-off, and this is something Democrats were comfortable talking about on the Senate floor last week.
Mm-hmm. And so the governor signed this version that retains the 1 week waiting period.
He says that the basic thing you have to know is that the 13 weeks of extended unemployment is now here.
As much as we see a much quicker pace for job creation in the state, we still have a long ways to go to get everybody in the state who wants a job back to work again. And one of the most critical things is to make sure at the end of that time frame, as people near what had previously been the time limit of the 73 weeks, we need to make sure we give them those additional 13 weeks as we help re-energize the workforce here in the state of Wisconsin.
So, I mean, bottom line is those who lose their job immediately won't have access to that first week of unemployment starting in January of next year. But people have been unemployed for 73 weeks, or people who were cut off in April can now have access to those 13 weeks of additional unemployment benefits through the end of this year. That's temporary.
So, Sean, I've been on vacation, and I've been around the state and kind of trying to pay attention to the news. I've been trying to figure out if Governor Walker is going to, or did he, sign the new redistricting map for the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the biggest bills that that Republicans will pass, and certainly something that they're well aware of, you know, what it does for them in terms of changing the electoral playing field for the next decade. Because they won their majorities and the governor's office and were in power after the latest, you know, census results came out, they got to draw the map for the next decade. The political boundaries for the next decade, and, you know, effectively are able to draw a map that puts them in a better position for elections over the decade to come. And so you would think a bill that, you know, a bill that only comes along once a decade, and a bill that large would be something that was pretty high on the governor's priority list. But when he was asked about it mid last week, said he wasn't even sure if he had it yet.
It helps people who have exhausted personal resources and are worried about what to do
stop.
Next.
I'm sorry about that. That's,
it helps people who are at the end of their rope with their back against the wall.
Yeah.
That was somebody else.
That was from the Senate debate last week. Walker remap would have been it. So probably my mistake putting it in there. So bottom line, what he said is that he wasn't even sure that the map was on his desk yet. And this gets a little bit technical here, but what we do know is that Walker has already signed one redistricting bill, and that bill lets the state draw its redistricting lines first before locals draw their lines. Because normally it's the other way around. The state waits for locals to draw their lines, then it steps in. Probably the reason the state's going first this year is because you have these impending threats of recalls and Republicans didn't want to lose the power to draw the map should those recalls not go the right way. So you have this bill that lets them go first. The legislature made sure they got that to the governor's desk, and he signed that right away. And then, as we've learned from the collective bargaining debate earlier this year, something doesn't automatically become law just like that after the governor signs. It's got to be published by the Secretary of State. It's something a lot of people you know, maybe weren't necessarily aware of,
right,
before then. But the Secretary of State was basically took his time, as he's allowed to by law, but took his time in publishing this bill that let the state draw its map first. And that doesn't get published until today, actually. So now that's in effect. So, you know, now the state officially has the power to go first. And, you know, it is, you know, full disclosure, I mean, this is pure speculation here, but if it is a possibility that if that hadn't been in place and the maps were signed into law, you know, that could be something that came up in a court challenge, you know, because the state doesn't, under law, current law, before today, didn't have the power to draw its maps first. So
is it expected that now that the Secretary of State has published the law allowing the state to go first in redrawing, that the governor is going to sign the new maps?
I mean, you would assume he's got, by my reading anyway, he's got today and tomorrow, because the legislature took its time sending the maps themselves to the governor, possibly, you know, knowing that the Secretary of State would take his time in publishing this other law. Walker, under the Constitution, has 6 days, not including Sundays, to take care of bills like that. That would put it, I think, until the end of tomorrow, Tuesday, that he has to sign this. If he doesn't, it actually becomes law without his signature.
Because so, that's the way it works.
Yeah. I mean, the other, I guess the other theory that you could throw out there is that perhaps the recalls and the results of the recalls would have something to do with whether or not he would sign these. But, you know, that's some creative thinking there. And
yeah.
I don't know if that's indeed the case.
Well,
we should know in the next couple days whether or not the maps are locked.
Well, we will talk about the recalls that are slated for tomorrow for 6 Republican state senators. There are 2 Democratic state senators who face their recall elections next week, Tuesday. We will talk with Sean and with a number of Wisconsin Public Radio reporters around the state about the races in their districts. And we do welcome your input, too. Maybe you're in one of these districts. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. There are races going on tomorrow. Voters in the 2nd, 8th, 10th, 14th, 18th, and 32nd state senate districts go to the polls to decide whether they will keep their incumbent Republican state senator or oust them in favor of a Democratic challenger. Taking a quick check of our weather for today, fog this morning, and there are some foggy areas in Wisconsin right now where visibility is down to a quarter of a mile or less, so do take care. Otherwise, a partly cloudy day today, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, except in northeastern Wisconsin. Highs will be in the low 80s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Sean is here to help us preview the recall elections going on tomorrow, and there are 2 more next week, Tuesday. And Sean, you will also be a part of election night coverage tomorrow night on Wisconsin Public Radio. What do you have in mind here?
Yeah, we'll be watching results starting at 8 and, you know, going at certainly at least through 10, possibly through 11 o'clock hour, hopefully long enough so that we can get a picture on what happened with this first round of recalls, involving the 6 Republican senators. And then we'll also have more programming next week at 8 for the remaining 2.
Well, let's talk about how, in the scheme of things, Sean, tomorrow's a pretty big day for state politics, yes?
Pretty huge day, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't get much bigger, I think, than tomorrow.
And give us a sort of an overview, and then we'll go a little bit more into detail into some of these races that are on tap tomorrow. But we have tomorrow 6 Republican state senators who are facing a potential recall.
Yeah, and for people who've been following the recalls pretty closely, this is this is really basic info, but I mean, Democrats are hoping to flip a net of 3 seats between this week and next. And if they do that, that gives them control of the state Senate. If they get control of the state Senate, that takes away complete control of state government from Republicans. Just at a state level, from a practical standpoint, it definitely changes it changes the makeup of state government. It changes the agenda that you'll be seeing. It changes a lot from a practical perspective. From a larger perspective and even nationally, there's just a lot of money and a lot of resources. And a lot of emotion from both sides invested in these races by, 2 sides who feel like they are races that have to be won.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of an epic battle of business and labor of our times in a way. I don't think you're overstating it when you talk in these broad terms because, the 2 sides are just very invested in these things.
And briefly, as we need to go to our reporters and the different races, both sides, in terms of parties, Republican Party, Democratic Party, are confident that they will prevail?
I don't know how confident you can be in races like this because it's unprecedented. You don't know. The usual turnout models don't necessarily hold up. I mean, you look back at the Supreme Court race from earlier this year, and I think conventional wisdom going in there was that if it was a high turnout race, higher than usual, and normally turnout for a state Supreme Court race is, you know, around 20%, that if it was higher than usual, that Democrats would do okay, and that Joanne Kloppenburg would be the victor. It was higher than usual, was much higher than usual, well above 30, and that was because both sides turned out. You know, you had the Republican base came out, as did the Democratic base, and you had a race that was decided by roughly 7,000 votes. So, you know, that race sort of showed that it's just hard to predict what's going on in Wisconsin right now. And I think the same thing to some degree applies here, although I think these campaigns are, I think they're a lot more sophisticated and coordinated than what you saw this spring, and certainly a lot more money invested, not only in television advertising, but in get out the vote efforts, canvassing. You know, I think Democrats feel like they definitely have the ground game for this one, and they got people doing doors, canvassing, things like that. But these are, by the numbers, Republican districts, and Republican voters are traditionally reliable in races like these.
Well, let me welcome in now Rich Kramer. He is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Eau Claire. And Rich has been following for us the 10th Senate District. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, Rich.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Now, who do we have in the 10th? What's the race?
Well, the race is between Senator Sheila Harsdorff. She's the Republican incumbent. She's run on getting state government spending under control. She supports the collective bargaining changes recently enacted into law, along with the increased contributions from employees. She's campaigned very heavily on the tax incentives and regulatory reforms aimed at making Wisconsin more business-friendly. She does support education, but she also voted for $800 million worth or so of cuts to K-12 education. She says that was needed, and the tools from collective bargaining helped offset that. Then you've got Shelley Moore. She's a school teacher, a high school English and drama teacher from the Ellsworth Community School District. She lives in River Falls. And she agrees that the legislature had a tough job in balancing the budget, but she was against the tax breaks given to businesses and corporations. She's critical of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, and she's also against the cuts to education and the moving money towards private and charter schools.
I understand this has been a very expensive race, in part because of TV rates in the Minneapolis market.
Absolutely. It's not cheap to get a 30-second spot in the metropolitan, in the Twin Cities area. Some campaign, aside from that, you know, there's outside groups that pay for those kind of things, but so far the campaign financing reports that I saw raised $397,000 from individuals. She raised $37,000 from committees, and then on the Shelley Moore side, about $212,000 raised from individuals and $24,000 from different kind of PACs. But, yeah, the spending has been through the roof. And actually on Friday we did a story about overall spending, and I think it's around $30 million. But just in the 10th Senate District alone, that spending has been set about $5 million spent so far. And the previous record was from the 10th Senate District back in 2000, I believe, where it was $3 million spent. So it's just unprecedented.
So, Rich, are the primary issues in the 10th sticking to, you know, collective bargaining and education and that sort of thing, or is it getting ugly in the 10th, lots of negative ads, that sort of thing?
It's gotten fairly ugly. I'm not sure that that's specific to the 10th, but collective bargaining really has been downplayed by both sides. I think we've been seeing that in a lot of the recalls against the Republicans. For Shelley Moore, the challenger to Senator Harsdorff, she has really been pushing the education cuts. That's one of the forefront issues. But one of the issues that's been coming from the Harsdorff campaign is an issue regarding use of school emails. The Republican Party put out a open records request and got some emails that seemed to show that Shelley Moore was using the school district taxpayer-funded email account to kind of help organize different rallies and events. Of course, Shelley Moore says she's been those charges have been dropped at the school district level, but the GAB is investigating that.
All right, and we just have less than a minute to go here. Rich, is it considered a close one in the 10th?
I would say that it's the closest race. If the whole polls that I've seen hold true, it's going to be the closest race that Harsdorff has faced in the last 8 years. In 2004, she got 60% of the vote. 2008, she got 56%. But two polls came out. The first one done in late June showed that Harsdorff was ahead of Moore by 5%. That's out of 1,200 likely voters surveyed. And then another poll conducted in July of just 350 showed that Shelley Moore was 3 points behind Senator Harsdorff. So it could be a very close race.
All right, Rich, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Rich Kramer is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Eau Claire, talking with us about the 10th Senate district in western Wisconsin, which has the Republican incumbent, Senator Sheila Harsdorff, facing Democratic challenger Shelley Moore. Sean Johnson stays with us, and we will also hear from other Wisconsin Public Radio reporters, including Maureen McCollum in La Crosse, Chuck Hornbach in Milwaukee, Patty Murray in Green Bay, as we continue talking about the recall elections tomorrow in Wisconsin. You can join us, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Recall elections in 6 districts are coming up tomorrow in Wisconsin, and then there's 2 more next week, Tuesday. This is a recall edition of our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. It is coming up on 7:36 on this Monday, August the 8th. Talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and we will also be checking in with other Wisconsin Public Radio reporters from around the state to preview tomorrow's recall elections. And Sean, you have been covering some of the races as well, including the race in the 18th Senate District that pits the Republican Senator Randy Hopper against a Democratic challenger, Jessica King. What are the issues in this race?
You know, I think to some degree you could say the issues in the 18th are the same as the issues in any of the others in terms of the overarching themes. I mean, whether or not it's spoken, collective bargaining is still a big issue driving these. And, you know, it's not brought up by the candidates from either party too much because they generally know, the Democratic base knows where things stand. Unions know where things stand, and people who supported the collective bargaining changes aren't going to be swayed too much by those arguments either. And so the arguments have talked in large part about cuts to schools, tax breaks for businesses, while there are removing tax deductions or tax breaks for working families or seniors, who like the homestead tax credit, earned income tax credit. Those issues you've seen elsewhere. You've also seen them in the 18th Senate District. And in this case, it's between Empire Republican Senator Randy Hopper and Oshkosh Deputy Mayor Jessica King. And these two ran against each other for the first time for an open seat in 2008. The big difference this time is that Randy Hopper now has a record. I mean, back then he was a political unknown. It was a very close race decided by less than 200 votes. This time he's got a big record. I mean, he's taken some pretty huge historic votes in Wisconsin. And, you know, people know about it. That's turned some people off and turned others into fans.
I think you pointed out in a story you did that the difference in the two candidates back the first time they met, like just a few hundred votes, you say.
Yeah, and if you break it down by the district, too, Hopper's base in Fond du Lac County went to him by about 4,000 votes. King's base in Winnebago County went to her by about 4,000 votes. So they kind of canceled each other's out by the margin. And then the district carves out this little, there's just this little piece of Waupun.
And there's a prison there.
It's prison town. And that went to Randy Hopper by a few hundred votes in 08. So you can imagine that prison prison workers, corrections officers, a pretty important issue for them is the collective bargaining stuff. So it could be a factor this time. Although, like any of the races, turnout is going to be key. I mean, I think you could repeat that over and over again. You don't know what the electorate's going to be like. It's certainly not going to be a high turnout like the presidential year of 08. And so both sides are trying to make sure not only that they have their supporters out, but to, you know, get at least some independent voters or some people who might not normally vote in a special election out to vote in this one.
And very briefly, Senator Hopper has been experiencing some personal issues, problems, and that there are now ads being run by a third party highlighting those.
And this is, I mean, this is something that came out earlier this year. He's gone through a fairly public divorce, and there have been revelations that he had a relationship of some kind with a 26-year-old lobbyist in Madison, and that lobbyist got a job in the Walker administration that paid much more than her successor. And so that's something that's been highlighted in these ads by a third party group in the final week.
And his response to this has been, this election is not about me?
Yeah, he started running his own ads saying it's not about me, it's about the issues. And when it does come to the issues, though, I mean, at least among the candidates I've heard, Hopper's been probably the most forceful in defending his vote on collective bargaining. You know, hasn't shied away from that at all, whereas in other races with moderate Republicans, for example, you know, they might more hint at the vote or talk about it in broader terms. Hopper's talked about it, said, yeah, I did it. I know the district. I knew what place it put me in, and I took the vote.
Well, let me welcome in another reporter now as we swing through the state and all of the districts facing recall elections tomorrow. Joining us now is Maureen McCollum. She is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in La Crosse, and she is covering for us the 32nd district. Good morning, Maureen.
Morning, Joy. Morning, Sean.
Hey, Maureen.
So tell us who's involved in the 32nd race.
Well, in the 32nd district race, the incumbent is Dan Kopanky. He's been the Republican state senator here since 2004. He's pretty well known for, 25 years or so. He was an agricultural seed salesman, so he knows a lot of farmers. He's gotten around the rural communities, and he also owns the La Crosse Loggers here in town. It's a collegiate baseball league. So, you know, he's well-known, he's well-liked, and his opponent is Representative Jennifer Schilling. She's been the Democratic representative here in the La Crosse, for basically the city of La Crosse, since about 2000. And the race in one way has been pretty interesting because the two of them have had a pretty good working relationship up until this recall election season, and you know, things have obviously gotten a little more tense between the two of them. But in the past, the two of them have worked together to provide dental care for low-income residents in the area, and they've both been pretty strong advocates for the UW-La Crosse School and also Western Technical College. So, you know, up until now, things have been good between them, but it's obviously gotten a little more interesting.
I saw a quote of Senator Kopanky's in the newspaper recently. I don't know when he said it, but something about how he hopes public employees are sleeping in tomorrow or asleep on recall election day. The collective bargaining issue is a big one there.
Oh yeah, I mean, and both of them will admit that's what sparked this whole recall election for Senator Kopanky. And, you know, he's, when I've asked him about that quote in the past, he's kind of backpedaled and said, well, I didn't mean that, you know, obviously I want my side to be coming out much more stronger than Representative Schilling's side. But, I mean, kind of like what Rich was saying before, this all started with the collective bargaining restrictions, but ever since the campaigns have really been heating up, the two of them have really made an effort to distinguish themselves. You know, different issues they've supported in the budget, you know, even issues like concealed carry, you know, Schilling is very against it and Kopenke is very for it. So, while, yeah, it did spark because of the collective bargaining, they definitely tried to separate themselves and distinguish themselves by talking about other mm-hmm. key issues.
And is this one, according to any polling that's been done, going to be a close one, or is it is Representative Schilling ahead, according to some of the polls?
Well, the most recent poll I've seen, it was conducted at the end of June, and it did put Schilling ahead of Kopenke by 14 points. I haven't seen any polls since then, you know, but also in that poll it talked about how only 3% of the voters at the time were undecided. And when I've talked to analysts since then, they've said that is completely unprecedented to only have 3% of the population undecided, you know, a month before the election. Generally, you have 10 to 15%, but I think people just really made their minds up early in this race.
Mm-hmm. Anything else we should know about the race in the 32nd district before we let you go?
I would just say that, you know, here for the La Crosse area, it has been pretty interesting seeing people really get fired up and, you know, and talking about politics. Anywhere you go, people are talking about this. And there have been a handful of 30-party groups setting up offices in town and, you know, hosting fundraisers. So it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. But I would say that both sides are pretty charged up. So.
Thank you very much, Maureen, for being with us.
Yeah, thank you, Joy.
Maureen McCollum is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in La Crosse, covering the 32nd Senate District for us. Now joining us by telephone is Chuck Kornbach. Chuck is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Milwaukee. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning.
So you have been covering the 8th Senate District, which has the incumbent Republican Senator Alberta Darling facing a challenger, Representative Sandy Pasch, or is it Pasch?
Pasch.
And what are the issues in that race?
Well, here we have Senator Darling, who's not only one of the people who voted for the collective bargaining changes, but she was co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee that and had a lot of control, presumably, over what the legislature did in the state 2-year state budget plan. So she's getting hit mainly on the budget front, not too much in the political ads anyway on collective bargaining, although there's certainly a lot of animosity towards her for her votes for the bargaining package, but it's a lot of it's budget related.
Mm-hmm. I saw that the chair of the Democratic Party said winning this district for the Democrats would be the crown jewel. Are Democrats hopeful that they might be able to do this?
Well, they certainly are. They've been working hard in parts of the district. Parts of the district is the northeast corner of Milwaukee County, including some very wealthy suburbs, then up into Ozaukee, Washington, and parts of Waukesha County. Those last three counties are traditionally Republican strongholds. But the Democrats have made some gains in at least the middle-of-the-road communities like Whitefish Bay, Bayside, River Hills, that's Darling's headquarters, but Shorewood over the years, and hoping that the energy that they can generate there, plus a little bit of the city of Milwaukee, will be enough to carry. It's going to be close, I think.
Mm-hmm. And are there any other issues that we should be aware of that are happening in that district?
Well, this is apparently the highest spending race largely due to Milwaukee television costs and radio costs. Somebody was saying last night that perhaps this is one of the top spending legislative contests ever. It's in the U.S. It's certainly one of probably the most expensive in Wisconsin, topping Western Wisconsin a few years ago. So it's heated. There's an ad war going on, and I was watching a commercial news program yesterday, and three ads in a row were on this race. And, you know, finally when someone else's ad popped up, you kind of wonder, well, okay, is Senator Darling or Representative Pasch about to, you know, jump in the middle of the commercial kind of thing?
All right, Chuck, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Chuck Wurmbach, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Milwaukee, covering the 8th District for the recall election day tomorrow for us. We will talk about a couple of other districts where there are recall elections tomorrow, and we welcome your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Sean Johnson, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we'll welcome in the author of the book Lip Service. It's about smiling and the act of smiling. Why do we smile and the meaning of smiles? It's not just because we're happy. That's coming up after 8 o'clock this morning. Right now, talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter, and other reporters based around the state of Wisconsin about tomorrow's recall election day. 6 Republican state senators face a potential recall tomorrow, and we are previewing all of the races in the various districts, and we're welcoming your thoughts and your questions. So far, we have talked about many of the races, 2 more to go, including, Sean, one that you have been following, the race that involves Luther Olson, State Senator Luther Olson, and State Representative Fred Clark in the 14th District. That's going to be another close one?
It looks like that's shaping up to be potentially close or pivotal. Mm-hmm. In these recall elections, Olson hasn't had a campaign like this. I mean, he's one of those that ran unopposed last time. Has generally been viewed as one of the Senate's moderates. Generally been viewed as somebody who's a pro education senator. And so what you've seen from the Clark campaign is, and third-party groups as well, but sort of an effort to paint Olson as a moderate who's lost his way here, saying that, a lot of people were expecting him to step up and say no when this collective bargaining bill was introduced or when the, budget cuts to schools were introduced, and that Olson did not. Olson's retort has been, like you've heard in a lot of districts, we're being recalled here because we made tough decisions, but they'll turn out to be the right decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those that it's expensive because the groups that are advertising in this race are in 3 media markets. I mean, it's a strangely shaped district, and so you've got ads running in Wausau, Green Bay, and Madison. So for the Madison audience, this is the race, the recall race that you've heard about over and over again, with ads from pro-Clark groups and pro-Olson groups just, back and forth.
Well, let's welcome in now Patty Murray. She is Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Green Bay. She is covering the Senate, or the 2nd Senate District, which features the incumbent Republican State Senator Robert Coles and a Democratic challenger, Nancy Nussbaum. And Patty joins us by telephone. Good morning, Patty.
Morning.
So I understand that a candidate forum or candidate debate that was scheduled for today has been canceled.
Yes, and that's due to a death in Nancy Nussbaum's family.
Yeah.
It was coming right up to the wire, the only forum that I'm aware of that they really had to discuss the issues for the two of them to sit down face to face. And I guess that's unfortunately not going to happen. So voters are pretty much left to make their decisions, I guess, based on their own knowledge of the candidates, both of whom have some background here in northeastern Wisconsin politics, and the plethora of ads that have been running for the last several months.
Yeah, again, the same issues in the 2nd as in the other districts?
A lot of the same. Robert Coles did vote for the budget that included the changes to collective bargaining, but he denies that he's gone in lockstep with everything Governor Scott Walker has wanted to do, and that he being Robert Coles, did push to have certain things taken out of the budget, like rules on phosphorus.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of irritated, you can tell, because one of the ads that's been running has is lumping him in with the crew who wanted to sell the state power plants in no big contracts, and he says that's just flat out wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He never was in favor of that.
And what is does he have? He's just defending himself, or does he think Nancy Nussbaum is not going to do a good job?
He's pretty much defending himself.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Coles has, I mean, he's got a long record to point to, and he's been in the Senate for something like 29 years now, and this is the first time in recent memory where he really has had kind of a fight on his hands.
Mm-hmm. And Nancy Nussbaum is certainly well-known in the area, a former mayor of De Pere, former Brown County executive.
Yes.
She has a record, too.
Yeah, and she was even on the county board before she was county executive, and she's also taking hits in ad land for the way she handled county finances back in the early 2000s when she was in office. But she says, you know what, yeah, we did, you know, technically it looks like spending went up, but a lot of that was infrastructure projects that were funded with a lot of private money, like a concert convention center here called the Resch Center. And a lot of private donations went into building that, but it all got funneled through the county's books.
So, I don't know. Does it look like another close one, Patty?
I know. We sound like broken records here, but you never can tell. These recalls are unprecedented. They're coming right in the middle of summer when, you know, people might be on vacation. You know, people just aren't really in tune with having to go vote and pay attention to something like this at this time of year.
Well, Patty, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Patty Murray, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Green Bay. Sean Johnson, our state government reporter, stays with us. Just a couple more minutes to go. Sean, what is Governor Walker saying about these recall elections?
A few months ago, he was maybe a little more public in his comments talking about the need to defend the Republican senators who took this vote. It sounds like he's still been active in fundraising efforts when it comes to the Republicans. Although, you know, they're certainly not using them in his campaigns and in their campaigns. Excuse me. The Republican senators are not talking about staying with Scott Walker or anything like that. He's come up in ads by Democrats in the Democratic groups who have been saying, you know, Senator so-and-so went too far, voted lockstep with mm-hmm. Governor Walker. And so he's, politically speaking, he's being used as a negative in these campaigns.
Well, I don't want to put you on the spot in any predictions or anything like that, Sean, but let's put it this way. What is the political conventional wisdom thinking on this day before the recall election?
I don't know. I mean, I guess the conventional wisdom throughout the campaign season was that there was a couple that Democrats had a pretty good shot at, and then if they could get one more, they've got
that's what
it.
They need, three, and they take control of the state Senate politically.
Right. And then, I mean, if they were to flip three tomorrow night, though, you look ahead and there's two more recall elections next week for senators, Democratic senators, Jim Holprin, Robert Wirch. Jim Holprin represents a fairly Republican district up there. And so if it were to play out that way and Dems were to flip three tomorrow night, you can imagine the political world descending on the Holprin district.
There we go. Yeah.
And there have been a lot of ads run up there already, possibly, hedging against that.
We'll do more on the two Democratic senators facing recall next week. How's that? And
sounds
good. You tomorrow night will be doing election coverage here on the Ideas Network starting at 8 o'clock.
Starting at 8 o'clock, right.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I try my best to look artsy, to fit in. Even though I'm not wearing pearls, they are emblazoned on my chest.
Tune in for more true stories told live. Old-fashioned storytelling about modern life. Next time on the Moth Radio Hour. From the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org.
Saturday afternoon at 3 on the Ideas Network.